What's up, guys? Back for another episode of My Biggest Lessons. I'm your host, Chris Mead, here with Josh Shapiro from Baseball Lifestyle 101. What's up, brother?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Where are you coming in from?
Long Island, not too far.
Born and bred?
Born and bred, Farmingdale, Long Island.
Yankees fan, Jets fan, what else?
Yankees, Jets. Knicks, I guess, if you want to say. I'm not a big basketball person. I'm not going to lie. So mostly Yankees and Jets.
So we've been Twitter homies for, call it 2 years, three years maybe?
Yep.
Following your journey, following mine.
Yes, sir. Killing it.
Give me the background on the brand for those who don't know.
Yeah, so it started actually as an Instagram account when I was 15 years old, just for fun. I was a sophomore in high school. Just wanted to, kind of how TikTok is today, Instagram was pretty much brand new.
Yeah.
So just started posting about baseball. Just because I loved it, I was playing. Just wanted to put my two cents out there.
And what kind of content you posting?
Literally, was just curated stuff that was mostly on Twitter. So memes, like photos, how I was living my baseball lifestyle, quote unquote, like me traveling around, my gloves, all that stuff. there was no video on Instagram at the time.
True, yeah.
Sound like I'm old now. But yeah, so just started posting. And just my goal was really to just grow the account because I loved it. Really had no idea that it would turn into what it is today. But
and how many followers was it at before you turned it into a business?
Over 250,000.
Jesus.
So we started the Instagram in 2013. I didn't launch the e-commerce business side until 2017.
Okay.
So the goal was really when I met my business partner, when I was working out, I was actually going to work out to like play college ball and he was my strength and conditioning coach. He owned the gym. And I told him I had an Instagram account at 10,000 followers and I wanted to sell clothing.
Yeah.
And he started breaking down to me, like I was, you know, 16 years old. He started breaking down like actual numbers. Like if you had a conversion rate of this and that, because you're going to sell 50 shirts and be mad and then be done.
Yep.
So Gary Vee was getting big at the time and he was like, create a media company first and sell whatever you want to them later.
Yep.
So he just told me to build a community, grow it. And then when the time was right, you could start selling
stuff. I love it. So you got to 250 and that's when he started?
Yeah. So I got to 250,000 followers by my after my freshman year of college when I was playing college baseball.
Okay.
So I wasn't like doing baseball myself full time. I was playing college ball. That was still my dream.
Yep.
And then it got to a point where, you know, I was doing influencer marketing. So I was doing posts for other brands like jewelry companies and other things. And they kept coming back for more.
Okay.
So I assumed like our audience was purchasing.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of make.
Oh, so you're taking money on the account and running spot.
Correct.
Like, running like swipe like sponsored, ups and stuff.
Yeah. Like, hey, like buy this from this other company.
That's so funny.
So I was kind of at the point where I was just making enough money where like my senior year, I bought my own car. Like, I was kind of doing whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it came to a point where I was playing Division III baseball and I was like, do I keep going down this route or do I kind of like go full in on baseball lifestyle?
Yeah.
And that's when I decided to kind of go full in on it.
Do you know the Truff Boys?
Hot
sauce? So kind of the same story, right?
Yep.
Sauce Instagram account.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
It just started super organically. Yeah. Like, and I've always been a person that's like cause honestly, because of my size that I always had to outwork everybody.
Yeah.
So like when it came to the Instagram, I was posting 12 times a day, every hour on the hour during high school.
That's so funny. What position? Baseball?
I was second baseman.
You're good or?
I was all right.
I
was like, you know, I got to college bowl. Like only a couple of kids from my high school played. So I was happy to play my freshman year and everything. So. Yeah.
How did it feel like as an athlete kind of giving up those dreams, right? To then start this business. That's also about baseball. So do you feel like, shit, I didn't end up making it, or you still feel like super passionate that you're still involved with something you love?
I think I'm more involved than I ever would have been because the bus would have stopped at, D3 college,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, now I consider MLB guys my friends. I've stayed at their houses. Hung out with them. I have their numbers. We talk on a regular basis. I've been in locker rooms. I've been on the field. Like none of that would have been possible if I would have continued to try to play because I wasn't like I was good, but I'm small guy. Like only so far I could go.
Exactly.
So this option of baseball lifestyle got me a lot further in that sense.
That's crazy. Who's some of the coolest players that you could name drop?
Oh, man. So, like, we actually had a sponsorship with this guy, Tristan McKenzie. He's on the Indians or Guardians now. We played with him.
RIP Indians.
Yeah, really. He was one of our guys. Really cool guy. Travis d'Arnaud of the Mets.
Yep.
His brother, Chase d'Arnaud. Like a bunch of guys, which is really cool now that have been following baseball lifestyle since they were in high school and college.
That's cool. See a full circle.
Yeah. Our buddy, Josh Young, who in the 2018, we went to the College World Series.
Okay.
He was playing and he was nervous to meet me. And he was the number one college baseball player in the
That's
country.
That's so funny, dude.
He ended up staying in touch. He just made his MLB debut last week, hit a home run on his first at bat.
No shit.
And me and him are like friends. I've been talking to him since he was in college. So we're starting to get guys like that have literally been following it's been around for almost 10 years. So we're starting to see the full circle of these
guys, which is
really, really cool.
It's such a cool feeling.
Yeah, it's really cool to have these guys, not just as like followers, but friends.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen that in like my personal, like I've been posting the CrossNet story, right, for 5 years now. Like yep. First 4 years, nobody gave a shit. But now it's like starting to build up. Like somebody's like, yo, I saw you walking around Manhattan yesterday. I should have said hi. Like random people from Twitter. Yeah. Like weird.
It's crazy. That's the consistency. Like I've posted 21,000 times on Instagram.
Jesus.
And it's all been me. And it's just consistency of going out and people wonder why they're not like growing a brand or growing a following. It's like, dude, it's just time.
I posted that yesterday. Literally giving up after your dreams after 3 months, right? Like you just have to keep going at it.
Yep.
You feel like you would have been able to do it. Build the business again in 2022 the way you did it now?
I think so, because we've always still been like content focused. So like we have 200K on TikTok now. I mean, we've talked about YouTube, like we've gone into YouTube Shorts now and using that content. So I think with having like the content mind first and organic first has always been like our business model. So in 2018 was the first year we hit $1 million in sales. And and that was in that Q4 was the first time we ever spent a dollar on marketing. So like how that came about was my buddy from college before I had dropped out, he'd met me and he connected me with this kid named Rob who was working for Gary.
Okay.
And he's like, are you running paid ads? And I'm like, no. And he's like, I can make you a ton more money. And he's been running ads for like Oreo and all the big companies. So he's came on and helped us run ads in 2018. And like, we just started growing like crazy because we were doing everything organically.
Yeah.
So like the paid side of things never been really a part of our equation. Obviously now in 2022, it's like, the side, but I think we could still do it. I just don't think it would be as big necessarily as we
are. Of course. And then TikTok's been working well for y'all too.
Yeah, TikTok, YouTube content really is like our main our piece of everything.
That's sweet. I want to kick it back. So you're 24, right?
Yep.
Right? And you said your other founder's 33 or 31? Yeah,
33.
Okay. What's the dynamic right there? Like that's a pretty decent age gap when we're so young in our lives. Like how'd you meet this dude and like how's the dynamic work?
It's really our whole team is very interesting. So I met him when I was 12 and he was my age now at 24.
Okay.
So whatever our age gap, maybe he's 36 actually, 35, 36. Okay. It was whatever. But it's a very cool dynamic because like we both have very fresh and different perspectives.
Yeah.
But we treat each other as equals. Like, yes, he is 12 years older than me, but like he doesn't look at me as like a little brother. Like I don't look at him as like a older figure. Just when we met and I was 12 and before I even started BL, I was working out there, but he's always helped me as a mentor. And then what happened was we always joked, we said, when we're $1 million company, like I'll give you 1% of the company. It was just a joke because it was like the Instagram account at the time.
Yeah.
And he helped me for free. We went to the College World Series for our first year in 2018 and we didn't know if the online would translate to in person. And we went there that first year, like our store was like ridiculously packed. Like we had to have the person who ran it tell the fire marshal to like get people out of our location.
It was just a booth or what was it?
It was like a pop-up. Yes, they have like a giant pop-up across the street from the College World Series every year in Omaha. And Billy, my partner, pulled me aside and he was like, look at this. Like, you know, like this is going to be a lot bigger than you thought it was and I thought it was. So he goes, we kind of have a decision to make here. Like I either stay on as like, just like a mentor, but I can't be as helpful as I have been, or I got to come on as a founder, as a business partner. Yeah. And I was like, dude, like there's not even a question. I'm 19 years old. We're about to do $1 million. I don't know what the heck's going on. Please help me. And that's pretty much like what happened. And we've had a really amazing relationship. His wife is our CMO.
Okay.
And she was actually the first hire of the company. She was working at a non-for-profit.
Okay.
And she quit her job when I was 19 years old to get paid $1,500 a month to help post on social.
Damn.
And now she has her own media company as an agency and she's crushing it and she helps us. And it's just like my best friend, Josh, who I've grown up since I was 5 years old, is our content director.
Okay.
So it's like a very like interesting dynamic.
That's crazy. Yeah. Does she still work for the business, the wife?
Yep.
How's that make any lessons there, like dealing with a couple versus you and you're the owner of the business? And
it's,
like,
yeah, it's,
I can see that being, because Lindsay, my fiance works for the CrossNet too. And I've had that like that triangle dynamic. Like,
yeah, it's interesting. Cause also Melissa, not only is our CMO, but she's like one of my best friends. Like I was literally on her side of the wedding in their wedding.
Oh no shit.
Yes. Yeah, so I was like a bro's maid, quote unquote.
That's crazy.
So like we're that close, right? Yeah. So like, and I don't think people understand that when she talks to other companies as like her media side and they're like, oh, so like, how's it working with Josh? And she's like, you have no idea. Like we're literally like, you know, we're one homies. Right? So the one thing I would say is like business never leaves like any day. Like we're going out to dinner. We have Monday night dinner as a team. Like we all just go over every Monday. We have dinner together as friends.
That's cool.
But inherently business comes
up. Of course.
Right. So like she's my, like one of my best friends, my kid, Josh, who I live with.
Yep.
I live with him. We talk business all the time.
Of course.
So like the only thing that kind of sucks is business never escapes us.
Makes sense. Yeah. Which it's hard to turn off. Yes. Especially with my brother, right? I was having a good conversation with a friend last night. It's like 5 o'clock come, 6 o'clock come. I want to shut off work.
Yep.
And I just want my brother back, or you just want your best friend back.
Yeah,
right?
It's so very hard.
Pros and cons, right? But I mean, we are at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday or Thursday, and we're filming a podcast, right? Like, we could be at a miserable desk job.
100%.
And, like, you know, like,
100%.
We'll take those cons all day long.
Exactly.
Dude, so you're telling me before we were recording, biggest up, or at least the biggest kind of learning lesson, is getting this fractional CFO that you just hired.
Yep.
Walk me through that, because I know for so long I was running the business. Hey, dude, we got more money in the bank account than we did yesterday. We're good, right? Yep. Like, things are, like, looking good. Until we had our CFO come on board, like, just to really rip through the business, like, we didn't get to the stage process that today. Like, walk me through, why did it take so long? Like, how has it helped you?
Yeah, I mean, like everyone has, we've made very big financial mistakes and learned from them.
Yeah.
Whether it was in 2019 when we were doing over $1 million and we were paying $32 for a hoodie instead of now we pay $15. Like, we just didn't know where to go from, right? Like,
exactly.
How do you get this t-shirt blank? How do you go overseas? What does that even look like? So, like, and paying for ads and not really knowing what your return
of
is.
Of course, dude. Our and buddy, the shipping on top of it.
Right. And our buddy who's been doing spending money, $1 million a day for Oreo, is spending, like, fractional of that for us. Yeah. So he's looking at ads in one way, and we're like, we just have no idea what's going on,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, not knowing the numbers was a huge problem for us. Even as we were growing 50, 60% a year, sometimes that's a problem because you just kind of lose control of what's happening. And not that it's, like, huge numbers, right? Like, you're only talking $1 million to $2 million to $3 million, but still it's still a lot of money.
Everything to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, we've made a lot of, like, financial mistakes in terms of how much we should spend on ads or how much we should be paying for something. But now, like I said, adding the CFO really gives us, like, an idea of our benchmarks of where we are, and me being able to look at the bank account, which I'm sure you do too. Like, I look almost too much.
Yeah.
And it, like, my mood swings based off of, like, why is the account going down, but our sales are going up? Like, this just, I don't understand.
Yeah.
So having him in there to explain that to me has been, like, a huge, like, weight off my back.
So I've never worked with a fractional CFO. I got lucky. I found mine, who's a full-time, he's actually a friend from college, and stole him away from his corporate job. But, like, what is the touch point with a fractional CFO? Like, mine, I'm talking to 50, 60 hours a week, right? Like, what do you get from a fractional CFO compared to, like, a full-time hire?
I mean, we get, you know, like, an hour call a week. Obviously, we have a Slack where me and him could talk with whoever.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, like, we do have a really good understanding of our numbers, and we are profitable, and we are in a really good place. For me, it's just the confidence. So, like, I just need somebody almost as, like, a coach to be like, hey, like, you're doing good. Like, keep up with where you're going. Here's where you're going to be, and give me an idea of where I'm going. And as long as I have that, I think we're good, because we've always run the company bootstrapped with a small team, and we've never ran out of cash, and we've been profitable since we've started.
That's great.
So, like, that's never been the problem. It's just, like, as you grow, you don't understand, like, cash flow and P&L and all that stuff are completely different things, as you know. So when to reinvest into money, when to take money, why to take it, all of those things, like, that I just know, but have someone who's an expert.
And to actually tell you, like, when to throttle. Yeah, that's been the last few months. We brought in, like, a consultant. We really baked it in. We need to be at a 4 ROAS across our Amazon direct-to-consumer channel.
Right.
If we're not at a 4, we're bleeding cash.
Right.
We're bleeding cash. I might as well just light it on fire or cut it with a scissor, because it's my personal bank account, right? It's cross-site. Right. It's my bank account.
Right.
So, like, if we're at a 4 and I get to the end of the month and I see that we're at a 6 ROAS, I'm pissed because we didn't gas it enough, right?
Right.
We left money on the table. We left top line, because I need to be at a 4 because I'm at my sweet spot. We're profitable. We're humming. But if I'm at a 6 or 7, that's where the CFO's gut checking me, being like, dude, what are you doing? Like, we need to spend more money.
Yep.
We're up. Right? And we need cash on the table. Yeah.
That's exactly what he told us. Like, he showed us our cost per acquisition in, like, 2020.
Yeah.
And, like, we could have been spending, like, gobs more money been way bigger than we are now.
Absolutely.
And now we're getting to the point where, like, and I've seen things with, like, having, like, triple O or just different, like, data points where now you know your numbers in and out. And, like, that's the biggest lesson, was just knowing our numbers from margins to what's profitable and what's not. Him telling us that we're profitable on first purchase and have, like, all this room to run, it's like, cool. So if we want to really, like, double the business just for fun based off of spending, we could do that.
Yeah.
What are the levers we have to pull? And, like, what's your risk tolerance? It's like, okay, cool. Like, now knowing that we have that runway, I can go as slow, as fast as I want.
Exactly.
But knowing that I have that runway and we're running at a, like, an optimal time now, I feel, like, way better than I did, you know, 3 months ago before he was onboarded.
And that's a perfect time from a word for our sponsors. 5 years ago, I was living on unemployment, living at my mom's house, Literally didn't even have money to keep electricity on to play World of Warcraft. I used a shitty customer service app, and now I'm using Gorgeous. Upgrade your life. And so what else are you doing from, obviously, spend money on Facebook all day long, TikTok, whatever. You were talking a little bit about some activations.
Yes.
I think that's really interesting, and I want to see more brands start to do that because you get a shit ton of cool content.
Yep.
You build real organic life moments. Like, what are you guys doing?
Being in person is huge for us because, like, we want to meet. We have 700,000 followers on Instagram.
And we get so lazy behind our laptops.
100%.
Dude, we get so lazy.
And you don't, but you also don't feel inspired. Like, we'll go through, like, 6 months of the year. Like, our biggest event so far has been Omaha and the College World Series in every June.
Which is a cool town, by the way, if you haven't been to Omaha.
Really cool.
Very sleeper.
Sleeper, especially on the College World Series. It's like a huge party, college life. It's really cool. But you don't feel sometimes inspired when you're behind the laptop.
Yeah.
And then you go and you get in person and you start seeing, like, for us, our demographic is like the younger, you know, probably like middle school, high school kid, and their parents are the purchasing power for us.
Yep.
But you get them, you see them in person and their eyes light up, right? Like my buddy Josh, other Josh for Gerson, who does our content on TikTok, taking pictures with him, like freaking out. Like, for me, that's what it was in 2018. Yeah. I put my face out there. I probably took over 1,000 photos in 2018 with kids. Like, that were just wanted to, like, meet me.
Yeah.
And it was, like, insane. Crazy. So, like, it gets you reinvigorated to go out there and why you're building, you know, like, watching kids walk around with your shirts on and just pointing them and be like, yo, like, love the shirt. Like, it just reinvigorates you. Mm-hmm. But then, like, from a sales perspective, it's really nice to have, like, a different channel. So for us going forward, retail is definitely, like, a big component of what we want to do.
Yeah, let's talk about this. I know you guys just got into Shields, which is our first store. How did you get into it? And how have you started, like, what's the relationship been like?
Yeah, Shields has been very interesting because actually one of the store owners individually reached out in January of this year just through our email channel.
Okay.
And we were like, okay, this is cool. I guess she had followed us on Instagram for a long time and was just like, hey,
Was it the buyer or no?
It was the buyer for the individual store in the Wisconsin store, Appleton. Makes sense. And then
Good store.
Great store. That was the first store. Been there in March. Went there in March. It was freezing. Dude, it was really cool.
So cool, yeah.
So she had reached out. And she said, I've been following you guys, would love to carry you. We carry other brands just in baseball. Like, why aren't we carrying you guys? And then a week later, the head buyer for baseball reached out. I think she kind of, like, undercut him in terms of, like, timing.
Okay.
So then he reached out and was like, you guys want to go national? And we're like, yeah, sure. Sounds and then he was like, you guys want to get us 750 t-shirts for, like, per store in the next 4 weeks? And we're like, yeah, sure. Yeah. So we actually have a screen printer in-house, a manual one. So one you have to, like, physically pull.
Jeez.
We just bought an automatic that's currently getting set up. So in-house production is huge for us as well. Our guy, Dennis, who's our operations guy, learned screen printing last year just because he had to. There's no other person to do it.
Yeah.
Screen printed 750 shirts a week to get Shields' order out on time. Jeez. So they had it for their baseball season.
That's crazy.
So our operations guy did it. And yeah, we suffered a little bit on the operations side because like our guy's screen printing t-shirts.
Exactly.
But we got Shields, their big order, and it was huge. We've done, they've sold more shirts than we've done online on some of our shirts.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. And we're going to be expanding with them next year. So seeing that take place is further reason why we want to go deeper into retail.
It's kind of cool. They could also kind of be a guinea pig for like what shirts you want to expand on too, right?
Exactly.
And it makes them feel good because you're giving them almost an exclusive or giving them something that's only for their customers.
Exactly.
Which builds that relationship.
Yep.
Anything you wish you would have done better to help drive the sell through?
For Shields?
For Shields, yeah.
I think now knowing what different levers we can pull in terms of like end cap units and placement, I think you said the same thing. Like, sometimes you go to different stores and your stuff is put in different areas that you're like in Appleton, they displayed us amazing because they wanted us. That's right. Good. We went to one of their stores. I wasn't even there. And it was like behind like a box, behind this, behind that. It's like, well, yeah, no wonder why it's not selling. So being able to like push some certain levers to know that your stuff is going to be in a certain area that you know, if it's there, it will sell is what we're going to be doing for next year.
And I think it's also important to have the balls to call it the buyer, right?
Yep.
Like you got to have obviously build a good rapport.
Yep.
And they could pull you at any day, right? Like you're not really helping as much as like you're a great account and CrossNet's a great account for Shields. Like Shields is going to go on with or without us.
Right.
But like having the control to tell the buyer, hey, this is where I think we should be setting up. I'll give you an example. We were in Dillard's, you know, what Dillard's.
Yep.
Yeah. And they started a sporting goods section and they put the CrossNet boxes under the Ralph Lauren t-shirts. Right. Like there was no display. It was just CrossNet boxes under a t-shirt. Of course they didn't sell.
Right.
Right. None of the products you're going to sell. So like this year the buyer came back. They're like, we're building like a nice like display section for sporting goods. Do you want to do take two? Of course I'm taking. We'll try again. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like they've kind of learned from their mistake, but then you take those learnings and you apply them to other stores and kind of keep growing it.
Exactly. And we know our stuff can sell. We've seen it through our Omaha pop-up where we do well over $50,000 in 10 days. So, like, we know we do well in person. We know what items sell. We know that Shields has pushed through on product. So we know if we get it in front of the consumer, it'll sell. It's just a matter of getting it in front of the consumer and making sure it's appropriately, like, displayed.
Displayed, of course. How do you think about, like, potential collaborations? MLB, obviously, MLB, like, are you working with the teams? Is that a possibility, or?
So I have a very, like, I try to actually stay as far away as Major League Baseball as I possibly can.
Okay.
As crazy as that sounds. We did a collaboration with the MLB Players Association, so the union, for their All-Star Game in 2021. We were their, not even on the merchandise side, we were their content distribution and creation. So we created all of the content in the All-Star Game on behalf of the MLBPA,
okay,
and then distributed it on our channels. I genuinely care more about the youth baseball kids than I do care about MLB. I care more about the TikTok influencers and the YouTube influencers than I care about the pro players.
Is that because it makes you more money or because what?
I think that's what kids genuinely like look up to. Like, we have a kid that we work with. His name is Jackson Olson. He's got 700K on TikTok.
Okay.
Amazing friend of ours. I think kids look up to him more than they look up to the players to play baseball, but yeah, not what they're wearing. It's the culture of baseball is whack.
Weird. It's whack. Very strange.
Whack. There's no reason that we should have more followers than half the MLB teams and half the biggest players in the game. It's broken.
Yeah.
Why would I look to those players that are broken? But also, they're making stupid amounts of money on the field. So when it comes to the off field, they don't really like care as much, because what is 25 grand to them when they're making 20 million?
Of course.
So for me, I could look at an influencer and be like, he's only making X. If I pay him $1,000 a month, he's hyped.
Yeah,
he's our guy.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to MLB and collabs, I think it honestly like dilutes the brand.
Yeah.
I know like Mad Happies and I know Kith and all of them do their Yankees, you know, stuff.
Of course, yeah.
Cool. What are you buying the hat for? Are you buying it for Yankees or are you buying it for Kith?
Yeah.
And like for me, I want kids to buy our shirts for the brand and not for the logo. That's not ours.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Have you run into issues with some of the players that you've worked with though on the MLB side, like the MLB coming after you or getting mad at any reason?
No, we have a good relationship with like the player association, which is really who you would end up dealing with.
Okay.
Because you have a certain number of players you're allowed to work with in terms of like selling their likeness and using them with two or more. If you go over that, then they start to hit you up.
Okay.
But like I'll send guys gear all the time because they follow us, like we were talking about before. They can't do anything about that. You know, like we've had them come, and usually it's their agents or the agency that's like, hey, like our guy's posting you up, like what's going on here? It's like, I don't know. They follow us, I send them a DM, they wore our stuff. Like, not I'm not fault. Paying for
yeah.
it. So when it really comes down to that, nothing really with MLB.
Okay.
Because we don't post any of their content either. Our content is baseball lifestyle inspired. So what you do, like for you, like what you would do, like why you're going on the bus, like playing with your buddies, like not like I'm going to an MLB game and watching the content of somebody hitting a home run. That I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I care about what kids are doing off the field and why it's like around the lifestyle of the game.
I love that. That makes a lot of sense. And we got into, so we're the official backyard game of USA Volleyball.
Yep.
Canadian Volleyball. And then we try to do the AVP, which is like the MLB of volleyball. But what we kind of learned was the same thing is like, we're building CrossNet as a sport. If we're sponsoring like the professional league of volleyball, like, that's not our game. That's a completely different product.
Right.
Why are we giving them love? Like, their players play with our shit regardless. Like, let's keep reaching out to the players and working with the players. But like, why are we going to be throwing 50, 100 grand over there to like for them to sponsor us when we're killing it on our own?
Yeah. You know? And what we noticed was, especially during COVID, was when there was no MLB season, our sales were still going like crazy. Like, our sales are nothing to do with MLB, how well it's doing. It's about that kid that plays travel baseball that wants to wear and represent what he like loves to do and wear it, you know, to high school or wear it to with his buddies.
Yeah.
During COVID, like parents are buying those kids their gifts because they wanted to represent baseball, not represent the Yankees.
It's like, so cool because like the baseball is such a, I mean, no disrespect, but it's a dying sport, right?
Yeah.
It's to some extent. And,
yeah,
and the people that do love it, they love it.
Yep.
Right. Like, so I'm sure the customers are all eating it up. Like,
yeah, it's niche, but they love it.
Yeah.
Like, our customers, like, we have, like, that one's talking to the CFO, like, we're looking at our, like, LTV of some of our customers, is like, the 20% moves the 80%.
Yeah.
Like, we have people that have ordered 30 times from us in the last 7 months. And we have people that order monthly. That's why we do weekly drops. Keep it hot. Keep people coming back, entertained. These kids are our biggest salesmen.
Yeah,
drops something new, they're begging mom and dad to buy it, you know? Like, so that's kind of how we, like, operate.
Who's designing the shirts?
I have a designer, a couple of designers that are like on retainer.
Okay.
I have some like inspiration that I look at, but I have no design. Like, I am not good at that, but I know what the consumer wants. And so does my designer. So one of my designers, his son I've known him for him and his son forever. Uh-huh. And his son is a high school player. So he, as a coach and as a kid that has a kid that's in high school, knows exactly what the kids want to wear. So for me, it's easy. I'm like, I trust you, man. You know what these kids want to wear. Whatever your son wants to wear, we're going to sell.
Let's do it, yeah.
So I leave, like, the experts do what they do, and I just make sure it's on brand and we market it the right way.
Why retainers instead of just one on salary?
I think, honestly, like, how much we can afford and how much we really need. Okay. Like, and we have very good relationships with these people where we probably get away from a cheaper end of standpoint than we probably should be paying, because these are people that I've known for since I started the Instagram. So they look at me as like a friend, a family.
You connect them with other clients.
Yeah. And I've stayed at my designer's like house. Like me and him are like close friends, his dad and the kid. Like, I think they look at us as family and they're in it for the long haul. And I know if like push comes to shove, we ever sold the company for a boatload of money, like I'm going to take care of the people that were undercharging me.
That's cool. Yeah. On the reverse end, like one of the lessons I learned, bro, is like I had two designers and they were overcharging me.
Yep.
Because they knew that I needed this project by Wednesday. It's like, all right, $2,000. Sure. Like, I need the project. Like, either I don't hit the assignment for Shields or I do. And so then I brought the full-time graphic designer in, and that was like, probably saved like 30, 40 grand just doing that.
Yeah. And I'm sure we could be better with it. Like, cause it's not his full-time thing. So like things take longer, but we get ahead of it, you know,
Planning. You got to plan. Planning, yeah.
Exactly. You know, so as long as we plan right and we do things on time, we have other ways that we can navigate things. We're fine.
Absolutely. Love it. If you look back 3-4 years ago, something you would have told yourself. One big mistake that you made.
Biggest mistake that I made is, oh man, you got to, I think hiring sooner than later. Like, I wish I would have brought the CFO in earlier than I did, because of the ability that we would have been able to spend more and probably be bigger than we are now. So also just also trusting that we're doing, like, when we have the gut feeling that we're doing the right thing and the numbers are showing so, don't second guess yourself and look at other people and think you're doing it wrong when you don't really know the reality of their story. Cause I think you've seen it and I've seen it, like, especially on Twitter, like you look at everybody and you're like, I suck. And you're like, how is everybody's doing so amazing? Like, what is going on? And you look inside their company and like, they're going out of business or they're not profitable. Yeah. And you turn around and you're like, oh, okay, like I am doing it the right thing. I need to go at my own speed.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So gotta live for yourself and only yourself.
Worry about me and controlling what I can.
I love that, dude. Thanks so much for coming on the pod. Absolutely. Stay in touch. I'm very impressed. You're doing everything the right way.
Thank you.
Think about it on a long-term vision. Yep. Like, it's crazy. I'm excited to see where the company goes in 10, 20, 30 years. Who knows?
Trying to be the next Easton, man.
Let's go. I love it. Thanks, bro.
Absolutely.
So I started my biggest lessons because we need to share more of the learnings, more of the f-ups, more of the mistakes. Everybody's flexing on Twitter and Instagram about their new Rolls Royce or their Bentleys, right? That's not real life. We're grinding. We're up crying late at night. How are we going to pay our employees? How are we going to make payroll, right? Those are real life stories that are being shared here. If you enjoyed that, check out our podcast now at Apple. If you enjoyed that, there's more episodes waiting for you over at Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.